Okay, what I put on the board just now is basically what I put on the board last week. It's just to make it easy to refer to the cases. Okay, last week we were going through the reading exercises in Lesson 1. And we'll continue. I give the explanations of the sentences. Okay, we take paragraph 3 now. I will recite, then you recite after me, then I'll give the explanation. Then when we come to the back portion, then we'll see if some of you can give explanations. Okay, 3. I should mention also that I've been putting these readings on a disc. We'll have 6 lessons on 1 disc. It should be ready by next week. Then all of you can get copies of the readings to practice at home. Micca ditti kassa bhikkhave. Anupanna ceva akusala dhamma upajanti. Upanna ca akusala dhamma vepulaya sangvatanti iti. Okay. Now, the word micca ditti means wrong view. Ditti is view, and micca means wrong. But now, micca ditti, of course, it's a noun, but we can convert that noun into another noun, which means one who has wrong view, by adding this K-A at the end. K-A, it's something like in English, we have the ending E-R. So we can say, we say no. Okay, we have the verb ending, or the verb to know. We put ER on that, we have knower. Or we have the noun travel, put the ending ER on that, we have traveler. So similarly, one could do this with a number of nouns, abstract nouns in Pali, to make them refer to persons who have that particular quality. So here, micca ditti, wrong view. Micca dittika, one with wrong view. And what case is this of the cases? Speak up. It could be genitive. Yeah, I would say it's genitive. So there's a tendency for genitive and dative to come almost to coalesce, to come together. Okay, so it seems probable that it's genitive. So the sense is for one of wrong view, or of one with wrong view. Anupanna is just, it's a negative. Upanna means arisen. So anupanna means unarisen, not yet arisen. Now, this compound, or this conjunction here, ceva. This ceva is, do you remember the name for this process? When you have often two vowels coming together, one drops out, or the two vowels merge in a certain way. What is this called? I heard it. Sandhi. That means literally it's putting together. Now what happens in Pali, as I explained last week, in English we say, K cows and horses. Say, for example, there are cows and horses in the field. But if you say this in Pali, it would be something like, there are cows and horses and in the field. I have socks and boots in my closet. I have socks and boots and in my closet. But also when you get conjunctions, this is in the sutta-style Pali, of two items, for some reason they put eva after the first one. So it's cheva after the first one, then after the second one, eva. Similarly, when there's a double negation, neither this nor that, you have neva this, n that. Neva is also sandhi. And what function this cheva has, that we'll see as we go on in the sentence. But anupana cheva akusala, I think we've come across that before. What is the meaning? Speak loudly. Unwholesome, yeah. Bad, unwholesome. Here the word dhamma as a plural means not the Dhamma that we go for to refuge for, not the Buddha's teaching, but Dhamma has the sense of mental factors or mental qualities. Dhamma has many meanings. It can mean virtually anything. Everything and anything is a Dhamma. But in a more specific sense, it means mental qualities, mental factors. The next word, upajanti, is a verb, which means what? The simplest sense is arise. Let's see. Yeah, he gave the meaning arises. And here, anupana, you see this? Well, let's say the positive form. Upana, arisen, that is the past participle form from the verb upajanti. So, for one of wrong view, O monks, here the bhikkhave, as we said last week, if you want to get rid of the monks, you can just drop them, kick them out, get rid of them. It doesn't really function in the syntax of the sentence. It's just the Buddha is addressing the monks. Okay, so for one of wrong view, unarisen, unwholesome mental qualities arise. And then the second part, upannaccha akusala dhamma vepulaya sangvatanti. Here we have this cha, that is the connecting cha that goes with cheva. And so upanna is means what? Arisen. And akusala dhamma, unwholesome mental qualities. And vipula means, it's from the adjective vipula, which means wide or vast. It forms the noun vipula, which means vastness, expansion, increase. And what case is this? Speak up. Dative, that's right. The dative. So the Pali idiom is that the arisen unwholesome qualities, sangvatanti, it would be something like, literally, lead to expansion. Or in other words, they expand or they become great. That's the sense. So the whole sentence, for one of wrong view, O monks, unarisen, unwholesome states arise, and arisen, unwholesome states, how do we say this? expand or go towards expansion, literally lead to expansion, become expanded, perhaps we would say. Okay, now a somewhat more complex sentence. Nahang bhik, for I'll read it phrase by phrase and you follow. Nahang bhikkhave. Anyang eka dhammampi samanupassami. Samanupassami. Yena anupana va kusala dhamma nupajanti. Upanna va kusala dhamma parihayanti yatthai dang bhikkhave micha ditti. Okay, now to explain. First, the form nahung. Does anybody know what this means? Right, right. Now, normally, in normal, simple Pali syntax, that syntax means sentence structure, we would have subject, subject and a noun in the indirect case, if there is one, object, verb. To give an English sentence in this structure, I, with my hand, petted the dog.
The dog petted.
I'm sorry, right. Good, good. I, with my hand, the dog pet. I, for bread, to the store, go. Now, normally, if the verb is being negated, the negation, the n, comes in, just in front of the verb. That's normal word order. But in Pali, there can be many variations for special emphasis. And here, when we have the N coming at the very beginning of the sentence, it's a way of giving a special emphasis to the negation. Okay, so not I, O monks, Anyang ekadamampi samanupassami. We had this phrase actually last week already. Another, even as P, Anyang, another ekadamang, one thing, samanupassami, perceive. So, O monks, I do not perceive even one other thing. Now, yena anupana va kusala dhamma nupajanti. The yena here means, what case is it? I'm not sure if he's given this. Yena. It's given. Yena is which case? Without looking in the glossary. Which case? I heard it faintly here. Instrumental? Right, it's the instrumental meaning because of which, by means of which. And the va okay, by means of which, va means or, connecting with another or. So, one other thing, by means of which, unarisen, wholesome dhammas, now, nupajanti here is what? Not arise. It's a sandhi, a connection. So the drops out. So we have nupajanti, by which unarisen, wholesome dhammas do not arise, or wholesome, or arisen, wholesome dhammas, parihayanti. Parihayanti means decrease, fall away. Then yataidam, we had last week. It's yata plus idam, meaning as this. O monks, michaditti, wrong view. Then the next sentence sort of draws the conclusion. From that. Somebody should be able to translate it right off now. Somebody try, don't be afraid. Dao Ming, you would like to try? It's not so hard, come, come. Fei, would you like to try? Okay, then I'll... Ah, okay, good, good. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Or let's use keep it completely in English. Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
Keep it completely in English. If you use dhammas, then it's keeping it in Pali. Okay.
Did you choose for dhammas this time?
We could say fact qualities. Let's say qualities.
Unarisen qualities do not come into being?
Yeah, or arise is simpler. Do not arise.
Unarisen wholesome qualities do not come into being. And arisen wholesome qualities...
Yeah, decrease, diminish. Okay, good, very good. Okay, very good. Okay, now just the next sentence is just the converse of that. Nahang bhikkhave. Okay, you could recite. Anyang eka dhammampi. Samanupassami. Yena anupanava. Akusala dhamma. Nupajanti. Upanava. Akusala dhamma. Parihayanti, yatai dang bhikkhave sammaditti. Okay, actually to explain this, it's really almost all the explanatory principles have been given. It's just the opposite of the previous sentence. So anybody like to... try giving an explanation or a translation. In effect, I really gave the translation already. All you have to do is substitute the words. Okay, good.
Not I.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my homework instead of the paper.
Yeah.
Not I, obese, is there, when perceived any other thing?
Yeah.
If
any even one other thing, the ekadamang is one. Yeah.
One other thing.
Yeah.
Do I perceive by which not having come into being?
Or unarisen is the simpler. Yeah.
Unarisen. Or unskillful dhamma does not arise.
Yeah. No? Well.
Unskillful qualities do not arise.
Yeah.
Having come into existence.
I think it's easier to say arisen or arisen.
I'm sorry, okay.
Yeah.
Or having arisen.
No, just simply or arisen unwholesome qualities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or arisen unwholesome qualities decrease.
Yeah. Right. Okay. The yena in that sentence, which means through which, because of which, that refers down to yatai dung, that is to this, which is samaditti. Okay. So, O monks, I do not perceive even one other thing because of which unarisen, unwholesome qualities do not arise, or arisen, unwholesome qualities diminish as this, O monks, right view. Then the next sentence, Samma ditti kassa bhikkhave. Anupana cheva, akusala dhamma nupajanti. Upana cha akusala dhamma, parihayanti ti. Okay. And the meaning should be easy to understand from an easy earlier exercise. Anybody care to try it? Try doesn't hurt to make an attempt. Ken, would you like to try it? No? It's not so hard. Okay. Samaditi kasa, for one of right view. Anupana, unarisen, unwholesome qualities do not arise, and arisen, unwholesome qualities diminish. Okay, the next exercise, number 4. Here they put the subject, Bhikkhu, just separately, because it has to go with each of the sentences. Okay, let us recite. Bhikkhu anupananang. Okay. Papakanang. Akusalanang dhammanang. Anupadaya, chandang janeti, vayamati, viryang arabati, chittang paganhati, padahati. Good. Okay, let's explain each sentence one at a time. Okay. This expression, it's actually a long, long one. It goes, anupananang papakanang akusalanang tamanang. What case is this? First, what number is it? Could be singular or plural. Plural, and the case? Genitive, right. So all of these terms are all genitive, plural genitive, and one of them is a noun, the other three are adjectives describing that noun. The noun, which one is the noun? Speak up. Dhammanang. Dhammanang is the noun, that is here things or mental qualities. Anupananang means, again, is the same as anupanna, unarisen. Here, papaka means evil, bad. I don't like the glossary gives sinful. That brings over sort of suggestions from Christianity, which are quite foreign to Buddhism. But you would say bad or evil. Akusala, unwholesome. Anupadaya is what case? Grammatical case? Dative, right. So in other words, and it's a negative noun, which means non-arising. But here in the dative, it means for non-arising. And chandang jenati means he generates desire, or he produces desire. So, in fact, the word jenati, it's related to the English word generate through the root jan connects with jen. So they both descend from the same original root. So the bhikkhu, who is the subject, generates desire for the non-arising of unarisen, bad, unwholesome mental states. Vayamati means he makes effort, or let's put it simply, he strives. Or he endeavors. Viryang arabati. Viryang means energy. Arabati is to begin, or in this case, to arouse. So he arouses energy. Chittang means what? Mind. And paganhati is literally lifts up. But here it has the sense of, in ordinary English idiom, we would say, applies. He applies the mind. And padahati, he strives. So for the non-arising of unarisen, bad, unwholesome states, he generates energy, endeavors, arouses. Did I say he generates energy? No, he generates desire, he endeavors, he arouses energy, he applies his mind, he strives. The next one, upananang papakanang gakusalanang dhammanang pahanaya chandang janeti vayamati viryang arabati chitang paganhati padahati. Gee, from the former sentence, I have no way of determining the meaning of this. I mean, the two, there's just no connection between them at all. Or is there? Could somebody help me? Can anybody help me? Okay. Not quite destruction. Pahana is more the sense of, I see, they give avoidance, destruction. I prefer abandoning. Destruction has a different nuance. Avoidance also has a different nuance. Pahanang is the better rendering.
He generates desire.
Yeah.
He endeavors,
Right, okay. So this is simply for the abandoning of the arisen, bad, unwholesome states. He generates desire and so on. Okay, now, anupananang kusalanang dhammanang upadaya chandang janeti vayamati viryang arabati chitang paganhati padahati. Does anybody have an inkling of what this might mean? somebody brave enough to even just venture out into the great ocean and take the risk? Somebody like to try? I mean, you have no idea what it might mean. I'll give you a little hint that there's actually no word in this sentence which is not already found in the first sentence. No, though? Georgette, would you like to try? Oh, is it really so? Then either I'm not explaining properly. Oh. Okay, then I see that. Okay. Maybe I'm just too accustomed to it, so I don't realize what. Yeah, Latin, you also have cases, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then I will give the help. Okay, everything here in the first three words, anupananang, kusalanang, dhammanang, what number and case? Genitive, what? Plural. These main word of those three is dhammanang, which means qualities. The other two, anupananang and kusalanang, are just adjectives. So this means unarisen, wholesome qualities, but genitive plural of unarisen, wholesome qualities. Upadaya means arising. And what case is it? Dative case. For the arising. Okay. For the arising of unarisen, wholesome qualities. Chandang janeti. He generates desire. Vayamati. He endeavors. Viryang arabati. He arouses energy. Chittang paganhati, he applies his mind. Padahati, he strives. Okay, the next sentence I can understand. There are many new words here, so this will take a little explanation. Though also, okay, this will have also illustrate a particular peculiar feature of Pali, also Sanskrit. Okay, first I'll read it. Upananang kusalanang dhammanang. Okay, you read it. Tithya usamosaya biobhavaya Vepulaya, Bhavanaya, Paripuriya, Chandang Janeti, Vayamati, Viryangarabati, Chitang Paganhati, Padahati. Okay, here, the first clause, again, the subject is dhammanang, qualities, but the meaning is arisen, wholesome qualities. Now, what does one want to do with the arisen, wholesome qualities? One wants to first stabilize them, make them steady, then increase them, expand them, and bring them to fulfillment. So, tithya, the word titti, has the sense of continuing, stabilizing. So for the continuation, or for the stabilizing of the arisen wholesome qualities, asamosaya means something like, for their non-confusion or non-forgetting, you could say. Let's see what word they use here. Confusion. It's not so much bewilderment, but getting them mixed up or forgetting them. Bio bhavaya for, okay, increase, we could say, increase. Vepulaya, we had on the other page, for expansion. Bhavanaya, for development. And paripurya means for fulfillment or for perfection. And here you might notice they're all datives, but tittya, you could see, and paripurya are a little different in form, because these are nouns ending in I. They're feminine nouns. And so if you look on page 6, where it shows the declension of the feminine noun, you see the dative of the feminine noun, rati, ratiya, or of nadi, nadiya, they're the same. I think titi is ending in short I, paripuri also is short I. Then bhavana is also feminine noun, but it's a feminine ending in long A. I think they introduced this type of noun only in chapter 2. But also this takes for the dative, for all the indirect cases, it takes aya as the termination. So bhavanaya. The others, samosa, bio bhava, vepula, are masculine, and their dative takes the form aya. Another feature of Pali that I wanted to point out is that in order to get a certain point across, very often a string of words having roughly the same meaning, or a series of words having roughly the same meaning, is strung together as though the Buddha was thinking that these people, they can't understand with this word, so maybe they'll understand with that word. If they don't understand with that word, then maybe they'll understand with still another word. If this blind could be lowered somewhat, the sun is very strong. Okay, so now the senses for the persistence, for the non-confusion, for the increase, for the expansion, for the development, for the fulfillment of arisen wholesome qualities. He generates desire, endeavors, arouses energy, applies his mind, and strives. Yeah?
This chandang is not the same as kanta, right?
Actually, the word chanda is used in two senses in the text. In one sense, it's used almost as synonymous with tanha, as craving. That is called akusala chanda. It's unwholesome desire. But it's also used, chanda, in a positive sense, what is called the desire to accomplish. In other words, to accomplish the spiritual path. And that kind of desire is a good quality. And this is the second type of desire, the desire to accomplish. Okay, now we can go over, since I've already explained the grammatical points, we go to the further readings on page 11. Oh, can you can recite after me? Nahang bhikkhave. Anyang ekadhamampi samanupassami. Yo evang saddhammasa samosaya. Antara dhanaya. Sangvatati. Yataidam bhikkhave pamado. Pamado bhikkhave saddhammasa samosaya antaradhanaya sangvatatiti. Okay, I'll do the first sentence, and then we'll see the others. Okay, Nahang Bhikkhave, actually the first phrase we've already had three or four times already. What does it mean? Excuse me? The whole first phrase, up to Samanupassami. Other thing, O monks. Okay. Yo means which. Let's see. I'll give the sense. Which. Avang has a sense of so or thus. Which thus leads. Sangvatate leads. Samosaya to the confusion. And antaradhanaya to the disappearance, saddhammasa, of the true Dhamma or good Dhamma. It's Dhamma plus the prefix. Sat plus Dhamma. But the sat gets converted into a D, into a D, in order to join with Dhamma for euphonic, to make it pleasant to the ear.
This is like when we say sadhu.
Sadhu.
Like I agree?
No. But maybe sadhu is probably derived from the same verbal root. Sadhu has a general sense of good, or else later it comes to mean, like an ascetic is called the sadhu.
I was thinking like
at the end of a sermon.
Yeah, you say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
That's sadhu, the long A. Sadhu, sadhu. It's probably derived from the same root. But this is the short form. Sat, good or true. Yataidang, as this, O monks. Pamado. Pamado means negligence, spiritual negligence, carelessness, heedlessness, lack of earnestness. So I do not perceive even one thing, O monks, which thus leads to the confusion and disappearance of the good Dhamma as this, O monks, negligence. And the next sentence, I just can't make out the meaning. Pamado bhikkhave saddhammasa samosaya antaradhanaya sangvatatiti. What is he saying? What is the subject? The subject? Really, it's just restating the same point in a less rhetorical form. Pamado, negligence, O monks, What does negligence do? It leads. What does it lead to? Of what? Of the true Dhamma. Okay, so negligence, O monks, leads to the confusion and disappearance of the true Dhamma. Okay, the next sentence. Nahaṃ bhikkhave. Okay, maybe not necessary to repeat after me. Okay. I do not see, O monks, even one other thing which yo evang thus, then the verb sangvatati leads here saddhamasa tithya asamosaya anantaradhanaya, which thus leads to the tithya, continuation, asamosaya, non-confusion, anantaradhanaya, non-disappearance of what? Of true Dhamma, saddhamasa. As this, appamado. Appamado means diligence or heedfulness. Then the conclusion, which restates the same point. Appamado bhikkhave saddhamasa tithya asamosaya anantaradhanaya sangvatati. Diligence, O monks, leads to the continuation, to the non-confusion, to the non-disappearance of the true Dhamma. Next sentence. Nahaṃ bhikkhave anyaṃ ekadamampi samanupasami yo evaṃ saddhamasa samosaya antaradhanaya saṃvatati yatai dang bhikkhave kosajjaṃ. Kosajjaṃ bhikkhave saddhamasa samosaya antaradhanaya saṃvatati iti. Okay, this really says the same thing as the first sentence, except one word is different. Kosajjaṃ. Kosajjaṃ means indolence or laziness. So, I do not see, O monks, even one other thing which so leads to the confusion, disappearance of the true Dhamma as this, indolence. Indolence, O monks, leads to the confusion, to the disappearance of the true Dhamma. The next sentence, Nahaṃ bhikkhave anyaṃ ekadhammampi samanupassāmi yo evaṃ saddhamasa tithya asamosaya anantaradhanaya saṃvatati yatai daṃ bhikkhave viryārambho. Viryārambho bhikkhave saddhamasa tithya asamosaya anantaradhanaya saṃvatati iti. Okay, this sentence says the same thing as sentence number two, except one word is different. What is the one word? Viryārambho. Viryārambho means making effort or arousing of energy. And so the arousing of energy, O monks, viryārambho bhikkhave, saddhamasa tithya asamosaya anantaradhanaya saṃvatati iti. The arousing of energy, O monks, leads to the persistence, non-confusion, non-disappearance of the true Dhamma. Next sentence. Here the word order, it's a little, it's inverted for, say, elegance of expression. Okay, I'll read it. Nahang bhikave anyang ekadamampi samanupasami. I do not see, O monks, even one other thing. Yo evang sadamasa titya samosaya anantara dhanaya sangvatati, which so leads to the persistence, non-confusion, non-disappearance of the true Dhamma, yataidang bhikave, as this, O monks, hear, anuyogo kusalanang dhammanang. Anuyogo means, you say, application to, devotion to, pursuing of, and kusalanang dhammanang, wholesome qualities. Okay. So what leads to the continuation of the true Dhamma is application to wholesome qualities. And then the next phrase is the negation. Ananuyogo akusalanang dhammanang. There's an implied and here. And non-application to unwholesome qualities. And then the conclusion. Anuyogo bhikkave kusalanang dhammanang. Application, O monks, to wholesome qualities. Saddhamasa titiya asamosaya anantaradhanaya sangvatatiti. Leads to the continuation, non-confusion, and non-disappearance of the true Dhamma, of the good Dhamma. Very important point. Okay, we have to stop here because there is a meeting to take place in 15 minutes. But have you started to read the grammatical explanations in Chapter 2 yet? Because I have to say, when I read the grammatical explanations, I think to myself, what are they talking about? But then when I see an explanation, when I see an example, then I say, ah, it's so easy. Couldn't they put it in more simply? So don't get too upset or discouraged if you see difficult grammatical explanations. You could just think, even our teachers sometimes can't understand these. But I have in mind here the one that really threw me for a loop. It's the explanation on page 24. Can I just go quickly into this before we close? On page 24, paragraph 6, this deals with relative clauses and demonstrative clauses. Do you know these grammatical terms? You see, that's the problem. Even myself, I don't know English grammar. I can know what's right. I know what's right, what's wrong. I don't really know the phrases, the explanations. But this is the point of this whole passage. In English, we insert a relative phrase into the midst of the main, or the relative clause, right into the midst of the main clause of a sentence. So we say, for example, I am writing with the chalk which is in my hand. Or, okay. I am writing. Okay, this is the relative clause, which is in my hand, because it doesn't stand alone, this clause, but it qualifies the chalk with which I am writing. What chalk am I writing with? With the chalk that is in my hand. Now, in Pali, one will just about always, the relative clause comes first and the main clause after that. And the relative words are generally in some form of ya, and the demonstrative in some form with ta. For example, if you want to say, okay, this sentence, it would be, which chalk is in my hand? With that chalk, I am writing. Let me think of another example. I came here in the car which is in the parking lot. In Pali, it would be expressed something like, which car is in the parking lot? In that car, I came here. Yeah. But the first time it occurs, it would occur with some form of the ya. It'll be something like yena. Let's use the word yana, vehicle, the car. Ya, yena, yanena. The car with which I came here. Ida. You don't have to write the whole thing. Agato. Yanam. How do you say parking lot in Pali? Maybe Tupana Tanam, stopping place. Parking place. Yena Yanena Ahang Ida Agato Tung Yanam Tupana Tanam Titati. This is just an example to show that the Yena form, this is the relative, which is connected with the demonstrative. Okay, next time I'll go through the grammatical explanations to chapter 2. And really, I want you to write, to do these exercises, to, as I explained, take the sentence, first do a word-for-word rendering. Make sure you understand what is the case, number, function in the sentence. Write out a very literal word-for-word translation, at least for a few sentences as examples. Then rewrite the translation in ordinary, correctly idiomatic English. If you really want to learn Pali, you have to do the exercises. Don't just come to recite the language. If that's what you want to do when you get the tape next week or the cassette, then you can take it home and just practice reciting. But you won't learn the language just by reciting it. But you have to learn the grammar. Okay, then we should call it.